Greetings, beloved. My name is Pastor Tina Reyes, and I am the campus pastor of Lumen St. Louis. Many of you over the years have known it as Lutheran Campus Ministry. It is a delight and an honor to be with you this morning as we worship together the one from whom all things come. In the name of Jesus, amen. Beloved, it is not a coincidence that this weekend is the celebration of Martin Luther King Jr., who spoke truth to power and who dared greatly for a people to be seen as true people, human with gifts and skills, to be seen as children of God, to be seen for what was in their hearts and not what culture or a system dictated about their skin color. We remember Dr. King's eloquent speeches and fiery sermons. And I have to admit, I don't think we always remember the vulnerability and the courage that it took to be the spokesperson of the civil rights movement that challenged change to culture and identity. And it's also not a coincidence that tomorrow begins the week of prayer for Christian unity. I don't know if you've ever heard of that before. It's sponsored by the World Council of Churches. This week, this time frame, was chosen specifically to fall between two commemorations in our church, the Confession of Peter and the commemoration of the Apostle Paul. And so every week, every year, this week, between these dates, we look to a theme that's been prepared by a member region. And the theme this year comes to us from a monastic community in Switzerland. They chose John chapter 5. And the verse that they're focusing on this year is, "Abide in me as I abide in you." How did they know that was a verse we needed? It reflects their community's commitment to prayer, reconciliation, and unity in church, so the little C church, the whole universal church, and in the human family. And not coincidentally, the devotion for the first day, the theme, is "You did not choose me, but I chose you," and the text is our gospel text for today. It's not a coincidence, I tell you. And it's not a coincidence that we're in the midst of an inaugural weekend and celebration, one that looks and feels very different. We as a country have a ritual around this event, but this time, due to COVID and to the insurrection of the Capitol 11 days ago, things are more somber. They're very less communal. And they're tinged with grief and fear. We are grieving in so many ways for so many things right now. Our loved ones, our identity, stability, and yes, for even some power. And what I find striking is that instead of a mall filled with folks and parades and kiosks with merchandise and this genuine air of celebration, we're inundated with visuals of barbed wire and red zones and armed troops. And honestly, it surpasses my memories of living in the DC area during and after 9/11, when Patriot missile batteries were installed around the Washington Monument in case of a possible attack, and the fear we had of nuclear war and of smallpox. This is more. So I don't suppose then it's not a consequence this morning that we read together this particular section from the Gospel of John. Last week, we remembered Jesus' baptism and the claim made by God that Jesus is God's beloved. God is well pleased with him. So after some time away, Jesus comes back to Galilee and to begin his ministry, and we're introduced to Nathanael by way of Philip. Nathanael, this skeptical man of the good news, but curious enough to follow. Honest enough in his response, hey, come see this guy from Nazareth. And he's like, what good can come from Nazareth? I truly believe the Holy Spirit was working in that moment. Pushing, nudging, picking up Nathanael to go with Philip to where Jesus was to see what Philip was so excited about. And even before Nathanael has a chance to prove himself right or wrong about his take on anything from Nazareth, Jesus unarms him, chooses him, and says, here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Me? Nuh-uh. Me? How do you know me? I've never met you before. You saw me under a fig tree. Nathanael's skepticism is replaced by confession. You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. You see, Jesus saw beyond the surface of Philip. What he was wearing, how he spoke, his facial cues. He knew him even inside, saw past his skepticism and his cultural understanding of what a Nazarene was and did. Jesus saw deep into the heart of a man who said it like it was, or at least how he thought it was. Jesus saw into the deepest part of Nathanael, as only Jesus could do, where vulnerability and tenderness and truth lay. And even in that place, Jesus chooses Nathanael. And Nathanael had no idea how his life would change. And that, beloved, is amazing and incredible, and it is holy. Our ability to see and to make meaning of what we see is dependent on many things. Our physical ability to see, to perceive depth, to understand color and the difference in colors and shapes. It depends on our experiences, our social, emotional, and political learning, our reactions emotionally and physically to one another. All of these things together help us make a decision about someone at the most basic level. Are they friend or are they foe? Do I spend time getting to be in relationship with you, or do I walk away? And we make those decisions like this. My favorite example of this is when I get cut off in my car. And I don't have the nice words to say about the person who cut me off. And then I've learned to add, but you're still a child of God, to reorient who you are. It sounds funny, but try it sometime. And whether Nathanael was invited to meet an amazing person, or Dr. King invited the white community to see the black community, or the Swiss monastic community invites us to prayer for Christian unity, or whether we're being called to communal grieving, we all start our seeing with our prior knowledge, with those emotions and those physical reactions. What good can come from Nazareth? I don't think those people belong here. They don't worship the right way. We have these preconceived notions. Beloved, thanks be to God that in Christ we have been given a witness and a new way of seeing one another. A new identity that binds all of God's creation as beloved and good. A new way of knowing that helps to reorient how we begin again and again and again as the body of Christ. It doesn't start after Nathanael got to know Jesus for a long time. It started right away. And the story at its core is not about what Nathanael sees. It's about how Jesus sees. It's about Jesus' way of looking and seeing and what becomes possible when we dare to do it Jesus' way. We're not going to know deep into the core of a person like Jesus. And yet, beginning a relationship, knowing that that person is beloved, is made in God's image, changes how we interact and how we live, and how we share our experience as God's people with one another. It is a 180-degree flip from how we are taught to look at one another in this world. It makes everything possible because of how Jesus chooses and sees Nathanael. Jesus looked past all the ways that his upbringing had told him to view this person. Israelite skeptic, friend of Philip. I'm sure there's probably more things that we don't read about. Jesus looked past those things to see honesty and purity of thought and intention that made up the core of Nathanael's character. And Jesus named it. He named that quality he wanted to bless and to cultivate into Nathanael. The quality that made Nathanael a person of beauty, an image bearer of God, beloved. So when I think of the work of Dr. King and the World Council of Churches and the work that we are doing in our collective grief and fear, I wonder these things. Is it possible for us to see our present moment as Jesus sees it? Beloved in Christ, dealing with enormous pressure and isolation and change and not knowing day to day what's going to be next. And instead of deciding to know everything there is to know about the political, religious, cultural others in our lives, can we, with God's help, have a fresh vision to see one another? I love the way Debbie Thomas frames this, the image bearer of God. And what would happen if we left our comfort zones and allowed ourselves to be vulnerable, to enter into relationship with one another, and our world, and God. Beloved, because of God's love in Christ Jesus, we have been united with Christ in baptism. And time again, we are invited to see beyond our stuff and to see one another as beloved first. To see and to be seen is an invitation to approach life, all of life, with grace-filled curiosity. To believe that as beloved, we are mysteries to one another, worthy of relationship and exploration. And to enter into the joy of being deeply seen and deeply known as God's image bearer and beloved. Not because of anything that we have done or chosen, but because of God's love, which seeks us out. God became human in Jesus, in whom we encounter the gaze of God. And in our lives, much like in the Gospel of John, God's call is heard in different ways. Whether it's in calls to become aware of our stuff that keeps us from one another, whether it's in racial justice or ecumenism, which means churches working together to see past their stuff, to meet one another in love, to get through our toughest days. And it is in God's love that we set out to walk a path of transformation. Always starting with love. Always remembering that we're beloved. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Yes, because it is from God. Amen.